Hello, Kenneth Vanderhorst here. Welcome to Canadian Cabin Fever Playlist. Each week, I chat with a guest about which songs they would have on their playlist if they were to spend a season in a remote cabin here in the Bulkley Valley. I hope you enjoy today's show on CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9. This station broadcasts from unceded Kasia territory of the Ginnamdun Clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Hello again, and welcome to Canadian Cabin Fever Playlist here at CICK Radio. I'm your host, Kenneth Vanderhorst, and this week my guest is Julie Krall, a Vancouver Islander by birth. She has lived in the Valley for quite a number of years, serving as a teacher and educational administrator for School District 54 since the mid-2000s. She grew up in Nanaimo. Her first taste of the Bulkley Valley happened because of a stopover while flying en route to Dease Lake. Though she appreciated the beauty of the far north, it was this part of the central interior that caused her and her mate to make home here. Teaching first at Chandler Park, then later in Houston, she now serves as principal at Smithers Secondary School. An avid mountain biker and skier, she supports youth beyond the classroom, and she takes the ski and snowboard team regularly up the hill. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you.
Tell us about the role of music in your life.
I come from a very musical family. Music's always been a huge part of my life. One of my very first memories with my dad was me learning my first song, Joy to the World, Three Dog Night. My dad used to play that song on the piano all the time, and I used to stand on the piano bench beside him singing away. At an early age, my dad tried to get me playing everything. My sister's an amazingly accomplished pianist, and she plays a saxophone, and she plays everything. I didn't want to play the piano, and he got me playing the flute in the school band kind of thing, and I didn't love it, but my world was all about sports. And so, although music's always, like, I feel like my entire life has a soundtrack. That's how I operate. Everything I do, everywhere I go, has songs or music appropriate to the setting. And it's just such a big part of my world. I used to sing with the local vocals for a while, but just with work and everything busy, I'm not doing that right now. Some of my golfing friends have nicknamed me DJ Cool.
Oh, wow. All right.
I always have the music dialed for the moment kind of thing.
Well, this is cool because you're going to be the DJ in a sense. You're bringing your playlist here because we're going to send you away for a season of cabin isolation. You only get 7 songs to put on the rudimentary device that we give you. So tell us, what's the first song on your playlist?
It is Up Where We Belong, Joe Cocker. So this song I chose because, well, Joe Cocker obviously is amazing. I just think it's one of the most beautiful songs, and it's so uplifting. This one goes back to my young years. My dad listened to Joe Cocker. And so this was a song I heard in our house, in and around, right from the time I was a little babe. But I've always kind of kept Joe Cocker alive in my life, in my own life, and pull his music out when I just sort of need to really feel something. All of the songs on this list are songs that I could just listen to over and over. I just feel like this song really takes me into an internal state, and I just sing along and feel it.
Far from the world below, a left you used to be, live their life looking behind. Yes, long. There are mountains in our way, but we climb a step every day. Love lifts us up where we belong, where the eagles cry.
Jennifer Warnes out of the UK and the USA, respectively. Julie, that was your first selection for your Cabin Isolation playlist. Tell us about when you first got to the Valley.
It was mid-90s. I was getting out of, just graduating from university from UVic. I met my now husband. He had been working up here for a few years in forestry and wildfire. He, at the time, he was doing a job up in Dease Lake. We're both from Nanaimo, so that's where we had met. I just went up for a visit to Dease Lake to see him, and here I was. I flew on my way up to flying to Dease Lake. We had a stopover for a day in Smithers, and I was just like, wow, this place is truly, it was one of those beautiful summer days, you know, the mountain was just incredible. And so after, I had a really great time in Dease Lake visiting him. He took days off, and we went fishing and hiking and quadding, and, you know, it was truly amazing. So when it came time to me graduating and kind of finding a place to go, my uncle at the time was an assistant superintendent in Nanaimo School District, where I had come from. He said, I had gone to school with his daughter. We went through school together. We were both teachers. And he said, you know, you girls need to get out of this district and just go and find yourselves somewhere else. Like, don't work in my district because everyone's going to say it was nepotism if you got a job and, you know, that kind of thing. So I packed everything I owned in my Volkswagen Rabbit. Oh, I loved that little car. It was my first real car. It was a little GTI. So awesome. I drove that car for years once I moved here, but I packed everything I owned into that car and caught the ferry up, started a life here. Brad and I decided to give it a go in Smithers. I didn't see myself moving to Dease Lake, and we didn't sort of see ourselves there for the long haul. And so he got a job here as well. And I actually didn't have work when I came. I was just TTOCing, and I actually worked, I think, in a daycare for a short, very short period and realized it wasn't my calling. That's how I ended up in Smithers, and I didn't have really any warm clothing. I wasn't really ready for the whole experience, but I said, I'll just give it a shot for a year.
Well, we look forward to hearing more about what's kept you here work-wise and family life-wise. But before that, tell us what your second song is for your playlist.
Well, it could have been any of the Chicks. They have been part of my entire adult life. I've been singing the Dixie Chicks songs of the Chicks. It became really obvious to me. I went to a concert with my dear friend Nicole Davey and Michelle Iacobucci a few years ago to a Dixie Chicks concert in Vancouver. And we knew every word to every song. We stood the entire time and sang. In fact, the entire arena did. And I realized they've just been part of everything in my life. Mm. Cowboy Take Me Away seemed like the perfect song to choose. It's one of those ones that if you had to be in a cabin, Cabin Fever. It's certainly one that it's kind of fun and a little bit light, but there's always that sort of romantic yearning side in the background too. Like the chicks are, you know, they're pretty political and they've always stood for something. And I think that's sort of part of that coming of age, part of being a woman and really admiring musicians or athletes or whomever who are making a difference in the world for us all.
I said, I want to touch the earth. I want to break it in my hands. I want to grow something wild and unruly. I want to sleep on the hard ground in the comfort of your arms, on a pillow of blue bonnets in a blanket made of stars. Oh, it sounds good to me. I said, cowboy, take me away. Fly this girl as high as you can into the wild blue. Set me free. Closer to heaven above. And
Chicks out of Texas. Julie, your second pick for your Cabin Fever playlist. Tell us a little bit about what you've done. And let me correct myself. Earlier in your introduction, I suggested that you got out here in the mid-2000s, but it was earlier than that. Mm-hmm. You were teaching by the late 90s?
Exactly. I wasn't full-time yet. Back in, we kind of come full circle since then. There was, well, maybe not quite full circle, but there was not a lot of actual work. Like, you could get on the sub, at the time it was called the sub list, the TTOC list, and you could do it, supply work that way. And so I did that for a little bit before I ended up into my first job, which was at Chandler Park Middle School.
Chandler Park Middle School.
Yeah.
That takes us back. Tell us a little bit about Chandler.
Well,
back in the
day. That was actually incredible first teaching experience. I mean, middle school is another beast. Like, there is so much energy. And then the building itself, like, it was just sort of like the hallways were narrow, the roof, the ceilings were dropped. Like, it was just this like sardine feeling in there. Mm. The kids, there was so much energy. But some of my favorite memories of teaching happened at that time. And it was just a great age that like kids still love learning and they're just so energetic. And you could, I just had so much fun. I sort of dabbled with my students in the first sort of renditions of making videos and, you know, just doing some really fun things and all the other teachers were like, what are you doing? They're out there, you know, doing jumps on their bikes, right? And I'm like, oh, they're making a video about safety kind of approach, you know, but there was some really, really good times and the staff there was incredible. You really had to stick together.
But Chandler closed and so you had to move on.
I ended up with a job at Lake Catherine School.
Okay.
For 1 year in teaching grade 7 there before it closed.
Oh.
But I'm also really grateful I got to experience Lake Catherine. That was what an incredible school it was, you know, just a really special vibe there. And honestly, the best view probably in the world from their staff room. Like, it doesn't get better. I think after that, when that closed, I ended up back at Smithers Secondary School for quite a few years teaching. When I went into administration, I ended up starting at Walnut Park. I was there for a little bit and then teaching and administrating. And then I went to Houston Secondary School, teaching and administrating. Silverthorne Elementary School, teaching and administrating. And now I am back to Smithers Secondary School.
Quite a range of places to serve in. But I'm thinking in those 20-some years or whatever it is, the math is, students, they've probably changed too. Our culture has changed, expectations changed, technology has probably brought a world of difference into the classroom and into the school environment. Yeah, what changes have you observed for good, for not so good?
For me, even just this morning, I had this great exchange with a student and, he'd been a bit of a nuisance first block. Before he said, I know why you're here, right? You're here because I slammed those doors and I'm already mad at myself for making such a bad decision. And then you don't even need to talk to me, Ms. Grawl. And I'm like, well, we're going to probably chat anyway. It's just incredibly interesting. And it's a wonderful gift to get to experience all these young people throughout the years. They bring you so much energy and insight. And for as much as the world has changed, kids haven't changed too much. Each and every day I go in that building and I have these great exchanges with these kids and I watch them learn and grow and change. It's incredible what happens between grade 8 and grade 12. I always sort of joke, kids are in grade 12, which means I'm just going to really end up liking them now and now they're going to leave. You know, we have really, really good kids in this valley and I can't say that strongly enough. Like I have peers who work around the province in schools. What they experience compared to what I experience every day is so different. I find our students are very honest about what they've done. They're really into restoring. Like, a lot of our kids will be like, I just want to apologize to that person because I hurt them. Mm. It's very, very positive, and our students are very thoughtful people. Yeah, we have really wonderful families and students. So, yeah, I'm very grateful each and every day to be going to a job that I actually like.
Yeah, what a joy. What a privilege. This takes us to your third song. Which one is that for the playlist?
Well, this one was just a sort of feel good. It's Fishing in the Dark. I feel like this one was just, if you're going to be in a cabin, and it's a song that I've always really, really loved, and it just kind of sparks you up. So I didn't go too deep on that one, but I just knew, yeah, you can always play that song and feel good about it and sing along.
Lazy yellow moon coming up tonight, shining through the trees. Crickets are singing in a lightning bolt. start floating on a breeze. Baby, get ready. Across the field where the creek turns back by the old stumble road, I'm gonna take you to a special place that nobody knows. Baby, get ready.
Fishing in the Dark by the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band out of California. Julia, that was your third song on your playlist. That takes us now to a shout-out to one of our sponsors. And let's do a shout-out to Ranch House Tattoo, local business supporting us here at CICK Radio, also providing tattoos. And Julia, you just mentioned that, yeah, you have some tattoos, and so you're a fan of that place. Thank you, Ranch House, for what you do for us in the Valley. Well, Julie, tell us a little bit more about educational life, if that's okay. It's just such a great thing to hear you speak so well of the nature of our students. I'm thinking, though, for teachers, there are probably increasing challenges maybe from the time when you first started teaching.
It's definitely complex. Would probably be an understatement if you can imagine what we balance between, you know, teaching and all the other duties we have. There's just this complexity of how kids are coming to us now with different mental health issues and learning issues and learning abilities. We try to understand where people are coming from and where the students are coming from. It's not always easy, but I think teachers teach them and help them in their learning journey from where they are. Because we have students in any given classroom, the range is incredible between not only reading and writing ability, but whether or not you can even access text, or whether you need technology, or whether you have an IEP or in a learning plan or a diagnosis from outside. Like, there's just so many different things that we try to balance. It's always been complex, but I think we just know more now. We want everyone to learn, and we want everyone to learn to the best that they can. So it is, you can see the complexity where you're bringing people from all different levels up, but it's really important that we use best practice and hone our pedagogy so that we can allow the diversity in our classroom to thrive. We do a lot at school. We feed kids, we clothe kids, we help families. But what's most important is that, those kids, they learn to read, they learn to write, they learn their numeracy. They need to be successes in life. Like, we don't just feed you. We need you to learn. We're feeding you so that you can learn, so that you can get out of this pinch that you're in. And I think that's really important to note. Amongst all of the things that we do, we keep our eye on what's important, and that is these kids need to learn and thrive so that they can have a really good future.
There's an intensity that comes with being a teacher, being in educational leadership. How do you maintain the intensity so that you can be effective in the way that you want to be, but also have a life, a family life, shut off when you come home? What's that like for you?
You know, I think most of the time I balance it pretty well. I've never been a person who, like some of my colleagues are always like, if I could just take this kid home, you know? Mm. I'm like, I've never thought that. Like, I don't care how much I like these kids and how much I care. I'll find a way, but I'm never bringing you home. Okay. But I feel like the balance comes for me in how I keep my myself focused at work, and the intensity is I really do keep an eye on what the positive is. Like, where's the positive? Where are we going? How do we prepare for that? I'm very organized. Probably, as you know, I didn't just wing it. I had all these notes filled out. I haven't looked at the notes, but I have them all done. But I try to be very organized. A big part of my world in the background, I try to find, it's all about exercise. I need to be active. I need to be biking, skiing, hiking, snowshoeing, working out, doing something that burns off my stress. I watch a lot of hockey and basketball and volleyball, and yeah, just try to keep a little balance and watching the kids do something recreationally and then at school. So it's definitely a lifestyle.
Tell us now about your fourth selection for your playlist.
Salt and Pepper. Yeah. That was such a great time for music. You know, the ladies started to have a groove. I just feel like they were sort of new to us at that time, and things had been a little bit more classic rock and things like that. So Salt and Pepper, I mean, I'll just come out and say it. Those were kind of like nightclub-ish years for me. Okay. So like dancing, all the girls out on the dance floor, we'd all like, we didn't care. We didn't need any guys to come dancing with us. We would just all run out there and dance. And I just think it's one of those songs that the vibe is really good. They were a bit grittier, Salt and Pepper, and a little grittier with what they talked about and how they talked about it. And it was, maybe it was the flip side of women, you know, being, maybe it wasn't always great because now, you know, they're talking about guys the way men always talked about women in music, but
it was shaking things up.
They were definitely shaking things up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of my dreams. Yes, my man says he loves me. Never mama says he loves me, not mine. I rush me good and touch me in the right spot. See other guys that I've had, they try to play all that math. But every time they tried, I said, that's not it. But not this man, he's got the right potion. Baby, rub it down and make it smooth like lotion. Yeah, the ritual, highway to heaven. From 7 to 7, he's got me open like 7-Eleven. And yes, it's me that he's always choosing. With him, I'm never losing. And he knows that my name is not Susan. He always has heavy conversation for the mind, which means a lot to me, cause good men are hard to find. My man gives real love, and that's why I call him killer. He's not a wham bam, thank you ma'am, he's a thriller. He takes his time and does everything right. Knocks me out with one shot for the rest of the night. He's a real smooth brother, never in a rush. And he gives me goose pimples with every single touch. Spends quality time with his kids when he can. Secure in his manhood, cause he's a real man. A lover and a fighter and a knocker knocker out. Don't take him for a sucker, cause it's not what he's about. Every time I need him, he always got my back. Never disrespectful, cause his mama taught him that.
I got a good man.
Vogue, both out of the States, New York and California, respectively. The song was actually first written by Dave Crawford way back in the 60s, and it was entitled What a Man, originally recorded by Linda Lindell in 1968, but Salt-N-Pepa and En Vogue, they reinterpreted as What a Man in 1993, and what a song it became. That was your fourth track for your playlist, Julie. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing when you're not on in education, what you like to do for a good time in this valley and beyond.
Most things physical. I love being not just outdoors with sport, but indoors as well. I play in the morning hockey, Smithers Morning Hockey League. I've played for many years. I love skiing and hiking and snowshoeing and mountain biking. I am an avid golfer. I won't say a good golfer. I'm hoping one day to be a good golfer. I just don't know if you ever quite get there. Now with the simulator out at the course here in the winter, I spend some winter hours golfing as well.
Now you're in a space up here away from where you grew up and where a lot of your extended family are from. So how often do you get to cross-connect with them?
We kind of joke because, you know, it's a long ways if you're coming up here. So I go there. I end up seeing, you know, going down. My dad still lives on a small farm just north of Nanaimo where I grew up. I head back there quite a bit. I'm always there spring break and summer and usually maybe one or two other times throughout the year just for shorter, like, weekend kind of things to help out. And my dad's getting a bit elderly and still running his farm, so we're definitely trying to keep an eye on him. So we're going to go down in March and do some work around and heavy work for him. Yeah, that's kind of what I do with my holidays a lot, is go down to see families. So I travel a bit, but I haven't traveled a lot. A lot of my traveling's been right back there.
The traveling is to connect with those that are still there and at a distance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this takes us to your fifth song. Which one's that going to be?
Shania Twain, Any Man of Mine. I also totally admire where she comes from and how hard she had to work to get to where she got to. and how hard she's had to work to stay where she is. You know, I just caught her final show in Vancouver last year. Somehow I knew every word to every song.
Still better love me, and I can be late for a date, that's fine, but you better be on time. Any man of mine will say it fits just right when life's used, this is just a little too tight, and anything I do will say better be okay when I have a bad hair day. And if I change my mind a million times, I wanna hear him say, yeah. I need a man who knows how the story goes. There's gotta be a heart beating fine, beating breath taking earthquake and time. Any man of mine. Well, any man of mine better disagree when I see another woman's looking better than me. And when I cook them dinner, burn it like you better say, I like it like that, yeah. But if I change my mind a million times, I wanna hear him say, yeah. I need a man who knows how the story goes. There's gotta be a heart beating fine, beating breath taking earthquake and time. Any man of mine. Let me hear you say, yeah, yeah.
Timmins, Ontario native. That was her first number one hit at country radio, and so it got nominated for both Best Country Song and Best Female Country Vocal Performance at the 1996 Grammy Awards. It won Single of the Year at both the Canadian Country Music Awards and Country Music Radio Awards in 1995. Julie, that was your fifth song for your playlist. Well, I think it's already come up in our conversation today, but clearly you've got some deep passions for the world, for our valley too. So tell us about what you're passionate about, maybe what you'd like to see change in our world.
The change part, I'm really a forward-thinking person, so I don't often like spend too much time lamenting things I can't control, But our state of politics right now has been very challenging for me. I get frustrated. I'm very practical. And I just want, and I'm also very action oriented. So right now I feel like if I could change anything, it would just be this biased way that, you know, that we're kind of given information, I guess, in our world. And what people call watching the news or whatever, it feels to me often like just hearing someone's opinion. It's not really watching facts. It's hearing someone's opinion. And I find that really difficult because I'm a pretty fact-based person, because I'm like, okay, well, what do you know? Like, what are the facts? And how do we make our own judgments about that? So I feel like I'm pretty insulated here in Smithers, because I feel like we can sort of turn a blind eye to that a little bit and still live this really good life that we have here. And I'm grateful for that, because there's days that I don't engage as much as I should anymore in even understanding world politics, because I'm like, well, now I just like don't trust anybody anymore. I don't trust I don't trust them anymore to be telling the truth or to be saying fact or to be acting under the best on behalf of the people. I feel like there's just so much going on with all of that is just so overwhelming that I tap out a little bit and say I'm just not interested. I feel like if I could change anything, truly, it would be that we public figures actually just worked on behalf of the people and did the right thing instead of like politicking it and saying, well, that can't work and that can't be in that budget and I need this. And, you know, like, I don't know, there's just always feels like there's a lot of excuses why things that are right can't happen.
This takes us to your sixth song. Which one's that going to be?
Well, I'm going to go with the Goo Goo Dolls on this one. I feel like they're another band that I've had as a big part of my life. I was picking songs that I thought, well, I could listen to this song a lot. And once again, it evokes emotion for me in a way that takes me back to some really great times throughout my adult life. Yeah, I'm having a hard time explaining this one, but I just knew. I knew it had to be this song. Every time I hear it, I'm like, I love this song so much. And I knew I have listened to it. When it first came out, I listened to it on repeat. I really did. I love the Goo Goo Dolls. And mixed in with all the country and the occasional AC/DC. And I also love current music. Yeah, I mean, who doesn't love Major Lazer, right? But I love the Goo Goo Dolls. So I just knew I had to have one of their many songs that I really love.
Turn away. Cause all the dreams she never thought she'd lose, tossed along the way. Letters that she never meant to send, lost or thrown away.
Nothing to believe, and reruns are think about you all the time, but I don't need the same. It's lonely where you are, come back down, and I won't tell them your name.
Name by the Goo Goo Dolls out of Buffalo, New York. They started off as a cover band and then developed a punk sound. Goo Goo Dolls experienced mainstream success following the 95 release of this, their breakthrough single, entitled Name. Well, Julie, that was your sixth song for your playlist. I've got some questions to run through with you before we send you to your isolated cabin. What would you miss the most if you had to move away from the valley?
It might sound corny, but just the whole vibe. I don't want to live anywhere else. I love the feel of the main street, the downtown, the outdoors, the people, knowing just enough people, but then there's always new people. I think that's pretty cool. I'm always amazed at how many people I don't know. But then anyone who knows me says, oh, wow, do you know everyone? shopping. I almost have to go shopping at Safeway at like 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning just to avoid a 3 hour sort of shopping experience. But then I'm grateful for that. Like, I've met so many people and I know so many families and so many kids, and it's so great to watch, you know, them become adults and sometimes stay in the community, sometimes come back to the community, and just to see them who they become, right? I've lost track of the question, Ken.
Yeah, well, you would simply miss the vibe in this valley.
Oh, yeah, everything. I really love it here. I think there. I can't imagine that there's many better places to live than this. Mm.
We're going to send you to this cabin. You're going to miss out for a season from the vibe. But what we will do is position this cabin so that it's looking at whatever mountain range or peak that you want to see from your cabin. Which one's that going to be?
Well, I truly would be happy looking at any one of them, because I do look at them all the time, and I love them at different stages of the day. But I would have to look at Hudson Bay Mountain. That mountain brought me here, you know, like that was the first thing that I sort of saw and that I knew, oh man, this place is amazing. And it's just our home. We built a home in a location where we could just look at the mountain out of every window all day long in every season. The last thing about the Hudson Bay Mountain is I love feeling in the afternoon the sun in my face as I'm looking at it set over behind the mountain. We kind of live at the top of the main street, and in our very highest room, I have my husband calls it the cat chair. Like, I curl up in the chair, the easy chair in the window, and the last afternoon sun catches me as I'm sitting there reading, and it's just, I love that mountain. So yeah, okay, I love being on it and being part of it, but I also love looking at it.
We'll make that happen at the cabin. There'll be a window and a porch there for you to get
Thank
that.
You.
Late afternoon
rocking
sun.
Chair would be nice.
Okay, a rocking. Well, we'll get to a luxury item. Oh,
no, that's
you're
not my luxury
ahead.
Item.
Well, you also, even though it's a rudimentary device that only holds 7 songs, you get to take a download. What's it going to be? A book, a movie, a show, a game?
I'm taking a series of books. I'm an avid reader, and it's not going to be. I don't read on a device. I read books. I read actual books.
All right. So we're going to download it and print it.
Yeah, sure. No, I got to have it. I think I'm going to take the Pillars of the Earth series from Ken Follett. I love historical fiction. There's something in that series from about everything and every character that you could imagine and every story. And it's just this beautiful spanning from like the 12th century to the 18th century in Kingsbridge.
Cool.
It's one location that just spans the centuries, and sort of, I love historical fiction. So I would read, and they're these huge books, like, you know, you work on your pipes at the same time as you're reading.
There you go. All right. That series for you, it will be. Brings us to your last song. Which one's that?
It was really hard to find 7 songs, but I've decided to go with Eminem because I loved his story, how he came into music. And there's just this side of me that loves rap and loves that type of music as well. And he is obviously one of the original kind of, not original rappers, but mainstream kind of guys from that whole era. I just think he brought something crossed over with being a white Caucasian rapper in that world, and the success that he got, and just at that phase of my life too, I just sort of tapped into. I really enjoyed, like, I really listened to that music, and I like Eminem a lot. I don't love his new stuff as much, but Probably just because I don't need it as much right now. But yeah, I just thought this is an iconic song, and Lose Yourself.
Opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted in one moment. Did you capture it? Just let it slip. Yo. His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud, he opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking how? Everybody's choking now. The clock's run out, time's up, over, plow. Snap back to reality, oh, there goes gravity. Oh, there goes rabbit, he choked, he's so mad, but he won't give up. No, he won't have it, he knows. His whole back's at these ropes. It don't matter, he's dope. He knows that, but he's broke. He's so stagnant, he knows. When he goes back to this mobile home, that's when it's back to the lab again, yo. This old rhapsody, better go capture this moment and hope it don't do it. Lose yourself in the music, the moment you own it. You better never let it go. You only get one shot, do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better lose yourself in the music, the moment you own it.
Another damn monotony's gotten me to the point I'm like a
Lose Yourself by Eminem out of Detroit, Michigan, from the soundtrack to the 2002 film 8 Mile. Well, Julie Kroll, thank you for your playlist today, but before I send you away, you get to pick a luxury item to have with you in your cabin.
One of the most important items I have and own, I'm not a really item person, like I don't have a lot of stuff, but I have a clawfoot tub and a cast iron clawfoot tub, and I love that tub. And there's just a bit of a story in that when we first moved here, we bought an old log house, and in that house was a clawfoot tub from a farmer's field that had been refinished. I learned to love the clawfoot tub soaking experience in that tub. And then when we built our new house, in the negotiations that going on, building of how what you can buy and how much you can spend and where, I gave up a lot of other things, but I needed to have a clawfoot tub. And so Dave Bob and his crew of guys, they all, I don't know how many it took for them to carry that cast iron tub up to the top floor, but it was a very heavy, beautiful tub, and I have it shining. And guess what I look at when I lie in the tub? Had to be a mountain.
Okay. Well, yeah. We will make sure we have the right equipment and expertise to get that tub to that isolated
cabin. Filled with hot water, of course.
And we will throw in a solar-powered hot water here for your tub as well.
And I read, of course. Read my books.
Excellent. Well, it's been such a joy. Julie Kroll, thank you for being with us here on Canadian Cabin Fever Playlist.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Canadian Cabin Fever Playlist is produced by me, Kenneth Vanderhorst, with the help of the good folks here at CICK Radio. The theme song is Summer Side of Life by legendary Canadian singer-songwriter Gordon Lightfoot. Thanks, listeners, for being with us, and don't forget to enjoy the beautiful scenery and amazing people you see all around you here in the Bulkley Valley.